Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would send the Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 23 and then verses 39 through 47. But the sermon will be looking at the whole chapter as a whole. And you're going to be so excited by this sermon that you're all going to go home and read the whole chapter. I just know it. So, Leviticus chapter 11. Begin reading at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch, they are unclean to you. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that does not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds, that they shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, and the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, and the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you, yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you." And then jump down to verse 39. Verse 39. "And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination, it shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves on in the waters and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper. And you are probably wondering what on earth these dietary laws of the Old Testament have to do with the Lord's Supper. But actually, it's just like most everything else in the book of Leviticus. It points to Jesus and the salvation that He provides for us by His death and resurrection. As you notice all of these laws, you notice that there are some reoccurring themes among the animals that the Israelites are allowed to eat and the ones they are not allowed to eat. The Israelites are not allowed to eat animals that feed on dead carcasses. And the majority of their diet of meat is going to be made up of animals that would have been used for sacrifices in the tabernacle and later the temple. Now, some commentators, in looking at this chapter, have pointed out that many of the animals forbidden for the Israelites to eat would have been, for example, pigs, were also largely used in the worship of idols of the surrounding nations, which is true as a point of showing a distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. Some have also made the point that God gave these laws to the people because animals like shrimp and shellfish and pigs are oftentimes carriers of disease. And so, of course, the Jews had to cook their meat that they were allowed to eat all the way through, thoroughly. And that, of course, was to mitigate disease. It would have been a huge health risk in those days to eat undercooked meat, and of course to eat, you think of raw oyster. How many people get sick eating raw oyster? I mean, that's just nasty to begin with, but then imagine how many people take that risk. And that certainly is all true. But that's not the main purpose of these laws, though we do see that God certainly does care about our physical health, as He does about our spiritual health. But more so, what all of this is here to show is that what the Israelites were to ingest as food was to be pure. That there was seen as what you partake of physically is to be a constant reminder to you of what you partake of spiritually. And that it is to be pure. The Israelites were not supposed to eat anything that had been dead before they killed it and ate it, nor were they supposed to eat an animal that would do the same. So they're not supposed to eat any carnivores or scavengers or any animal that would even do that. For, as God's holy people, who had been purchased by the blood of Christ, death was to have no place among them. Why? Because death is what? Death was the original curse for breaking the first covenant that God made with Adam and Eve. And God, by doing this, and ordering that the Israelites not eat animals that eat dead things, or eat animals that had already been dead, was reminding them that they have been set free from that. They have been set free from the curse of death, and that they were to partake of it no more, and were to run away from all sins Because sin leads to what? Death. As God's holy people, who were to be purchased by the blood of Christ, death was to have no place with them. And if it did, they had that constant reminder before their face that they needed to be washed and cleansed from death. Right? You see that of the laws of when they touch a dead animal, they are to be unclean until evening. They needed to be reminded constantly that we need to be cleansed from the law and its curse. And that they needed to continually walk before the face of their God in the newness of life that was provided for them in the coming Savior. And that is a good reminder for us. Yes, Leviticus 11 applies to your daily life. No, we don't follow these dietary restrictions. But this is a passage that reminds us of the refrain in this passage, that we are to be holy because our Lord is holy. Which means that the constant motion of our life is to repent of our sin, to place our faith in the Lord Jesus, and seek to live a life worthy of the calling that He has given to us. Now you may be wondering why it is that we as New Testament Christians enjoy shrimp and bacon. Well, principally because of Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10, where Peter is shown a sheet descended out of heaven, and there are all kinds of animals, clean and unclean, and God tells Peter to kill and eat. But Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And then a voice from heaven again said to him, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common," or the same word means unclean. And what that showed is that all the Old Testament ceremonial laws were done away with because their purpose was fulfilled in the coming of Christ. We've seen this before. God always does things and commands things that fit. Right? All of these Old Testament ceremonial laws pointed forward to the coming of Christ. But when Christ has come, there's no longer a need for them because they are fulfilled. I want us to think about death just for a moment. Before Christ came, the Old Testament church was constantly looking forward to the coming of the Messiah who would save them from death and hell. What does our catechism say about why we have to die? Is it because we're still under the curse anymore? No. The Old Testament saints were looking forward to Christ's coming. We look back, and even as we still have to die in this world, we are reminded that that death is not death in the eternal sense. It is not death according to the covenant of works that was made in the Garden of Eden. But it is simply an entrance into eternal life. Why? Because Christ has made all things new for us, His people. so that even death cannot harm us. And so you see the betterness that the author of Hebrews talks about. The betterness of the new covenant in Christ. That we get to look back to the surety of our salvation rather than longing for it to come. And as we look at these Old Testament laws here, we see their purpose is fulfilled, but they still, as God's Word abides forever, instruct us in these glorious truths. These laws pointed the Israelites forward to the Lord Jesus, showing them their need of the coming Messiah. The Israelites were already the redeemed people of God in the sense of being taken out of Egypt. We see that in our text as well. But all of that pointed forward to the ultimate spiritual redemption that's provided in Jesus. That Christ is the one who purchased and secured their freedom and salvation. And because the Israelites are redeemed people, and because we are redeemed people, we are called to be holy. Because our God is holy. Again, please see how everything must fit. That those who are called to be in the presence of God are called to be holy. Why? Because that is what our God is. Now, we are told to express our holy living before the Lord in a slightly different outward way than the Israelites were. Right? We can eat pigs now. That's good. We get bacon. Even have bacon-wrapped shrimp. That's good stuff. Right? We can enjoy that. So the outward wrappings are different. But still, the core of living and walking in holiness before the Lord remains unchanged, which is what? We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We as God's redeemed people have to remember this. We have been saved. And I know that we say that a lot. But we have to understand that we as God's redeemed people are redeemed from sin. And what does Paul say about that in Romans 6? He says, if we've been redeemed from sin, why would we continue in it? You have been saved and set apart by God to be His holy and royal children. Act like it. Right? Something my father would always say to me. You know, you're a Rosma. Act like it. To which I'd say, you know, something snarky probably. But that's something we gotta remember. We have been redeemed by Christ. We are God's people. We need to act like it. Which means, not that we have to be perfect. God would never demand something of us that we could not do. He knows that we are going to continue to sin. But when we sin, what must we always do? Repent. And you see that motion even in these cleanliness laws. Every time they're unclean, what must they do? They have to go through the cycle of being cleansed. all pointing forward to the need of repentance and faith in Jesus. We need to live like what we already are in Christ. Brothers and sisters, please remember, we have already in Christ died to the world and to the bondage of Satan. We're no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness, but we've been transferred to the kingdom of light, and we've been adopted into the family of God. That is the reality for every single one of us that puts our faith in Jesus. That is the glorious but also humbling reality of the gospel. That there's two things we confess that we can't understand, as we just sang about. God's redeeming love and my unworthiness. Just as we have nothing to do with our first birth, we have nothing to do with the second. Our salvation is entirely the work of God from start to finish. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we give thanks to God for the salvation that's provided in the Lord Jesus. That's why sometimes the Lord's Supper is called the Eucharist. Because Eucharist in Greek means thanksgiving. But as God's redeemed people, we are also called to live holy lives before the Lord, lives that are set apart in pure worship and service to our Lord, to our triune God. And so we do have to ask ourselves, what in your life is not holy? What in your life is not set apart unto worship to God? What in your life would you say, that's not set apart from the world? That part of my life is in the world. And even of the world. What in your life would you say is not set apart from yourself and set apart to God? We have a hymn, number 270, entitled, At the Name of Jesus. Stanza 4 reads as follows. If your hearts enthrone Him, there let Him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown Him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let His will enfold you in its light and power. This is to be our prayer. That we would bring all things in our lives to subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And whatever we have done or been that is unholy, we need to confess that to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. But as you know, true repentance is not just confessing our sins, but is actively turning away from it. You knew that since we were talking about food, that I was eventually going to use the common phrase that we use in our day and age, you are what you eat. Right? While it is somewhat true physically, it is altogether true spiritually. When we are sinning, we are seeking to consume the harmful and unclean food of this world that will only pollute us, poison us, and harm us. No one likes food poisoning. Nobody likes food poisoning. You know how gut-wrenching of a terror that is. So why spiritually would we do that to ourselves? Jesus says to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 7, come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and the nations who do not know you shall run to you. Why? Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. Who is the Holy One? Jesus, right? Jesus. And now notice this. For he, Jesus, has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Please let those words wash over your soul. We all know we have not lived holy lives as we should. But we don't partake of this supper because we think we have. We come to the supper because we know who we are in Christ, that we are declared holy in the sight of God. And because we know that we, when we come in repentance and faith, we will be washed whiter than snow. As we partake of this holy supper, we are reminded and comforted that Christ has already made us holy by the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. But we are also reminded that he is continuing to work in us and sanctify us. And that as we partake of the sacrament, we give thanks for the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are also praying that Christ, by the Holy Spirit, would sanctify us, helping us to act like we already are, that we would be what we eat. May Christ now feed us with himself, that we would be more like him to the praise of his glorious name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious passage in Scripture in which we see our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the glories of his redeeming grace. We pray, O Lord, now as we come to the Holy Supper, that you would remind us of the sure salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray O Lord, that as we come, we would always come not of ourselves, but come in faith in the Lord Jesus, and that you would, by your Spirit, fill us with Him, that we may go forth and live lives that are worthy of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would live as what we already are in Him. We pray this because we want your name to be glorified above all else, and we want your people to be grown up, built up. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.